Few people await President Obama's executive order on immigration reform with more anticipation than the population of Salvadorans. There are an estimated 140,000 Salvadoran immigrants in New England. The close connection between Massachusetts and El Salvador was apparent this weekend at the commemoration of the murders of six Jesuit priests there 25 years ago. The murders then sparked a crusade by a late Massachusetts congressman to get to the bottom of the killings. WBUR's David Boeri, who's in El Salvador this week to report on the immigration crisis and its causes, this morning reports on this anniversary.
On a night unlike any other, thousands of Salvadorans and hundreds of priests from around the world gathered at the University of Central America in the capital city of San Salvador to honor the six dead who have become known as the Martyrs for Justice. In a candlelit procession that traveled over colorful sand paintings and snaked around the campus under fireworks, children and old people, peasants and college students remembered the deaths that caused outrage and then an end to the brutal civil war. Holy Cross President Philip Burrows recalled his fellow Jesuits.
They were trying to walk a very careful line between social change and the needs of the poor and not violent revolution, but they, in the minds of others, were seen as the fomenting of violent revolution, which was not their stance at all.
The army generals and right-wing death squads had long accused the Jesuits of being the brains behind the rebels. The war was 10 years old when soldiers came for them in the early morning of November 16, 1989, and in clear but grisly symbolism, shot them in the head. Revulsion over their killings brought a congressional delegation, led by Congressman Joe Moakley of South Boston, to investigate. I reported on Moakley's first trip to El Salvador a few months later in 1990 as Jesuits showed him the murder scene.
This is the area where the priests were assassinated.
Aquí se les pidió que se tiraran al suelo.
They were asked to lie down on the floor.
Fue cuando los ejecutaron.
And were executed.
Mataron a ocho personas.
They killed eight people.
In addition to the priests, their housekeeper and her 15-year-old daughter were also executed, in compliance with an order from above that the soldiers get rid of any witnesses. Moakley was filled with indignation. The evidence pointed to the top. As it later turned out, the orders to kill the priest came from the very top, the Army Chief of Staff. The killers belonged to an elite battalion trained and equipped by the United States, which had poured $4 billion into guns for the Army and assistance for a government that killed priests and peasants with impunity. Moakley became a bulldog. Here he was in February 1990.
A central question for the task force is whether the human rights problems here in El Salvador, including the killing of the Jesuits, are the actions of a few renegade military figures, or whether, in fact, they stem from attitudes and actions that go to the very heart of the armed forces and other major institutions in this country.
Massachusetts would become known in El Salvador for the heroic work of the congressman who took the side of the poor and the oppressed, just as the Jesuits had, and so too the martyred Archbishop Oscar Romero. Moakley's chief aide in running the investigation was in the procession this weekend, now a congressman in his own right, James McGovern.
He was an American politician who stuck with it and who got to the truth and told the truth and did something about it. He introduced an amendment to cut U.S. military aid to El Salvador, which passed, and that was a signal to the Salvadoran armed forces that the blank check that the U.S. government was giving them was over.
Outrage and the call to cut funding compelled the armed forces and the government into a truce with the rebels that brought an end to the war in 1992. In the martyrdom of those who taught a faith based on justice brought thousands of Salvadorans from every province this weekend to keep a night-long vigil.
I'm here because I'm a Salvadorian.
I'm a Salvadoran, says Sandra Serrano, a student from a northern province.
They gave their life, their faith, and everything for us, so that's why I am here right now.
The Civil War and the right-wing death squads may belong to the past, but violence and impunity have never gone away. While repression and war set the first flood of refugees northward, now the terror of gangs and cheap guns from America have sent a new wave of Salvadorans toward the U.S., and many of these refugees are children.
58% of children are fleeing from violent gangs.
Carla Castillo helped interview 600 children who left El Salvador to go north but were stopped and returned back home. Her interviews reveal the stark conditions in a country with the world's fourth highest rate of violence against children.
They have a choice. They have to choose between die in the route or die here in El Salvador.
And they told you they would prefer?
Yes, they prefer to die on the route. They prefer to try to reach to the United States because there is maybe a little possibility.
A little possibility for life, for safety, for opportunity. And here in El Salvador, on a night like no other, that quest for a little possibility explains the devotion of thousands to the martyrs who stood with them, the poor and the oppressed, and died because of it. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri in San Salvador.
WBUR's David Boeri and producer Shannon Dooling are in El Salvador this week reporting on child immigration. To see more of their reporting and photos, go to our website, WBUR.org.